for the for cities or local jurisdictions to look at recreation needs, and it allows the city to adopt a master plan for as part of the comp plan. It's also addressed in our comprehensive plan and all three areas, creek corridor, trails, connections, linkages, transportation system, as well as connecting the open spaces with trails, as in our transportation element of our comprehensive plan, and it's also in the climate, energy, and action plan in terms of making the city more bike and pedestrian friendly. So staff believes it's quite consistent with the state plan goal and the existing comprehensive plan goals and policies. We have suggested three amendments. One was from Commissioner Pierce that we've included a staff report, and that was really to address the areas where the trails go outside of the city of Ashland jurisdiction, and it's in language that talks about working with the county in those situations. And then staff has identified a couple changes. One is to take out some language that says that the Trails Master Plan will be used to evaluate land use decisions. That's actually on page 4, and since the staff report went out, I noticed that it's also the same language as listed on page 9. So we would recommend taking that out. And then on page 12, in the second chapter, there's a discussion of all work should address the riparian ordinances, and we suggested adding floodplain and hillside, because those are also two chapters that involve physical constraints that are for part of trail development. So staff is recommending approval. As we said in the staff report, I think most people would agree that Ashland residents have a long history of enjoying trails and accessing watershed and the forest above town for a long time, and the work of Ashland Parks and Recreation and the Lucas Trail Association really has improved the system through the years, and I think the 2006 plan was part of that, and the 2018 plan really continues that, having that tool for implementation. So Michael Black is here to answer any questions you might have about the plan in particular. I can answer questions also.
I'm still way concerned about the Ashland Canal Trail, and is there any way that we can add language that really recommends that we look to see if we can make that some sort of public domain?
I think there is language in there that suggests that we do look into every opportunity we can to get easements or make those properties public. Right now, I believe the areas that you're talking about, the ditch road, there are some areas that where people have closed off access, and we continually work with them. But there are definitely something in here that encourages that, and it is a high priority. I'm not sure there aren't a lot of actions in here as far as do this, do that. There's a lot of guidance, and I think it's actually relevant to what Maria was talking about, and this being a guiding document, not a master plan with projects.
Well, I guess I'd like it a little more in bold face.
Okay. A follow-up to that, do we have a policy what kind of actions will pursue getting that access? I'm thinking kind of a no-one-do-one situation. What situations will we as a city pursue getting those connections?
We do the land use process.
Yeah. I mean, how else would we get it rather than buying it?
Yeah, in my experience, and though I'm sure I'll chime in here, that is a hard thing to do with no-one-do-one because of the connection between the Supreme Court, my understanding of it seems like it's been applied pretty conservatively in that you can only request those easements or dedications when there's a nexus between the development and requiring a trail easement or path. So it seems to work on short segments between like subdivisions and parks. We've done that quite a bit where there isn't a street connection because they have a longer block length and it doesn't meet our street standards. But I think it gets a little more difficult when it's Well, you can't kind of make it a transportation connection.
Sure. It doesn't help that Nolan Dolan isn't half taking his case. You know, that's that body that's right on point. I just wondered if we had identified if there were, if people came in to redevelop or what kind of permit would allow us to ask for that access.
For a trail like in Massachusetts.
Or something that's already there and we just need the easement.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we have a land use standard that requires it. It's more that staff would, you know, pull it out and show, you know, probably at the pre-app process, an applicant, let Parks know somebody had come in and then try to hook them, you know, to get them communicating with the Parks Department about that. I mean, I remember one planning action before my sister that I worked on that actually happened where the people were in that one case wanting to kind of dedicate a path to the Parks Department, and they did that as part of the partition process.
You could probably get it out of the partition, and we could probably require it as part of the partition.
Well, there are larger examples as well. There's new subdivisions that are working on that are going in now, or at least in the planning process now, we're talking about extension of trails, or at least the property so that we can extend the trails. So I think actually planning has been really good in helping us do that. And then, as far as parks is concerned, we do keep track of all the pre-applications. And we do try to make comments when it's appropriate, where we think we can, and where we should have
to. I think probably what Mike is saying is probably we've been more successful in terms of through the planning process, you know, through negotiating the trails. I'm surprised how often potential developer, property owner is very open to it. So it's not, you know, that they're against it. I guess at some point, if we wanted to, as part of our acknowledged TSP, show critical connections that were critical to the city's transportation, then we, as part of larger quasi-judicial actions, we'd likely could be on better grounds for dedication. But we haven't really had to pursue that.
Which leads to a question I wanted to ask. I wasn't quite sure why you wanted to take out the thing that says the TMP will provide a source of information that may be used to assist the community's evaluation of land use decisions. It doesn't say it's a policy, which is what was the reason for taking it out.
Well,
it sounds like we're describing doing just that.
Well, I think it's saying in the evaluation of land use decisions, it seems to indicate, I think that could be interpreted to call the land use standard or approval criteria when the planning commission is looking at an application. That isn't something that we've done. We typically put something in the code, you know, in the land use implementing ordinance rather than referring to the comp plan for a standard. Luba has said that you can do that, but you have to say you're doing that in your code. So it probably, you know, I think to be consistent and more predictable for the development property owner side of things, it would be better placed in the land use ordinance if that was the direction the city wanted to go. But having it, and then we also have to evaluate in terms of there's some pretty strong language now in the Oregon state law about having clear and objective standards for housing projects. So, you know, unless you have it clearly and objectively set, and you're trying to apply it to subdivisions and, you know, multifamily developments, whatever, could the city, from a legal standpoint, get challenged on that piece? Okay.
Right. I think Maria's spot on. I mean, we, as part of the quasi-judicial decision, we need to have specific approval standards in our land use ordinance. And, ultimately, if that's where we want to go, we need to amend the zoning code and not have this sort of further document that sort of, during the heat of a public hearing, sort of a gray area in terms of applicability.
Well, if I could comment, I think it's appropriate the way that it's been proposed. We never saw this amendment as being anything more than guidance. And like I was explaining earlier, all of the chapters are very general, except when you get to the one that really belongs in the TSB, which is Barefoot Green. And that one is one where it's a lot more specific, and because of the TSB, we can use it during the land use process and things like that. But the rest of them, since we don't actually have, in most cases, we don't actually have a preferred route, we have corridors that follow the creeks, it's really too vague, I think, to say that there's a standard that has to be followed.
I would say one last thing. We have been successful, like Michael said, even in some of our master planning, just like when we did the North Mountain master plan, specifically the ordinance, that as part of doing that master planning, that the property owners that have land within Bear Creek floodplain and associated trail systems will dedicate that as part of any land use approval. So that's very, very clear.
That was also in part because the zoning was changed from rural residential to much more dense zoning, so it was a trade-off.
Anything else you'd like to tell us about? We kind of jumped in with questions, so maybe you had something you wanted to present.
No, I thought Maria did a great job in kind of condensing it down and giving you an overview. I gave a presentation last time I appeared before you, and I won't bore you with that again. If you have any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them. But we really do appreciate the time of taking a look at this and the process that this is going through and help get planning to get this adopted, finally, in maybe another couple of months.
Okay, so
do
you
want
to
make
a motion?
What do we need to do here?
We're going
to make a recommendation.
Yes. I guess I would move to recommend it forward to the City Council consistent with staff report presented by me.
Second.
Any discussion?
No.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Sure.
You got it.
You can
say goodbye.
Right.
That
was
the meeting
in
years.
You need to
that
make
that.
Clearly,
do it.
Yes.
Well done.
I told you 7:15.
I missed you by 5 minutes. Well, I'm surprised.
Well, she didn't know we had a public comment.